I can probably offer most insight on that you guys might have a harder job figuring out is the fraud provisions, because such a big part of my practice is criminal. And so, but I didn't know anything about the fraud provisions really up to, I guess they're fairly new, and up to the time where Penny asked me to look at them significantly, I gotta say that I had not. I did take a look at them, and I spent, I promise you, 10 hours at least reading them and referring from one section to the other, and I'm gonna give you my my best shot. I'm happy to get questions or to be challenged, because I found this to be very, very convoluted and very unclear. But I guess what I'll say to start is that I'm going to keep my presentation, if I can call it that way, limited to what happens if you've been found, or if you're alleged to have given fraudulent information or accepted benefits in what's alleged to be a fraudulent way. Once you've been busted, so to speak, not when the ministry calls. I'm not going to deal with when the ministry calls you in the office and says, this information is inconsistent with that. I'm not going to deal with that just for the purposes of today. But the new legislation at Section 15, and I don't know if you guys have the legislation with you, but the section that deals with the fraud stuff is Section 15 of the new Employment and Assistance Act. And that section has several paragraphs, five paragraphs, and they're very convoluted. But I think what I'll say to start with is that the ministry has different ways to deal with who's allegedly or who has been found to be committing fraud. One way is that probably the most heavy-handed way is to charge you criminally. My guess would be that they would do that only when there's a significant amount of money involved. They're not going to start a prosecution for a few hundred dollars. It's going to have to be something in the range of thousands. Anyway, in my criminal practice, any time I've had somebody charged under the criminal code that's going to have a criminal trial about welfare fraud, it's usually in the thousands of dollars. So you could be charged under the criminal code, under Section 380 of the criminal code. Then if that's the case, you most definitely need a lawyer. And you're going to have a criminal trial, and you will be found guilty or not guilty. If you're found not guilty, then clearly there should be no consequence, and the ministry should just suck it up and say, too bad we lost. If you're found guilty of that, then you get a criminal conviction on your record. You're probably going to have to do some restitution to the province, and then the penalties and the sanctions of the act are gonna kick in. The other thing that can happen is that you can be charged not under the criminal code offense of fraud, but you could be charged under the employment and assistance offenses. There's some offenses in this act, and a provincial prosecutor, a crown prosecutor, can prosecute you under these offenses that are not criminal code offenses, but that you're still prosecuted, you still go to criminal court. It's very similar to driving infractions. You can be prosecuted under the Motor Vehicle Act for a driving offense, or you could be prosecuted under the criminal code driving offense. It's really the choice of the prosecutor. Usually it depends on how severe it is. If it's not a fraud that's significant enough that they want to proceed with the criminal code, then they'll go under the offense, under the offenses in this act. And those offenses are in sections 31, 32, 31 and 32 pretty much in the Employment and Assistance Act. And then there's some, the same offenses are with the Disability Act. So everything that I'm going to say for the Employment and Assistance Act is true, and it's all been taken and copied and pasted in the Disability Act. So it works for both, and the provisions are exactly the same. The third thing that can happen if the ministry has a really iffy case, or is that they can invite you to enter into an acknowledgement that you've been a naughty, naughty person and you've taken these monies and you weren't entitled to them. And that's the third thing that can happen to you. And then you go in and you sign an acknowledgement, and then there's consequences that attach to that. Well, first of all, you're going to have to enter into some sort of a repayment agreement, and then there's penalties. Now, the other thing that can happen in that same category is that the ministry can decide to go to civil court and sue you for the money you owe and get a judgment for a debt. So those are the four things that can happen if you're alleged or if you're found to have committed some fraud with the ministry. Now, Section 15, the first paragraph deals with criminal code offenses. So if you have been charged with a criminal code offense of fraud, welfare fraud, and you've been to court and you've been convicted, then Section 15(1) of the Act deals with you, and it's Section 14 of the Disability Act that deals with you. And in that case, if you're a single person and you have no dependents, you are, and I'll read from it, you're cut off assistance for the lifetime of the person beginning with the first calendar month following the date of the conviction. So if you're a single person and you're convicted of criminal fraud, my understanding of this legislation is that you are cut off. That's it. There's no, I mean, yeah.
Point to the wording where it says you're cut off.
Well, it says that it refers you to subsection 5. Right? So section 15, paragraph 1 tells you, oh, go see the consequence in subsection 5. If you go to subsection 5, then it says you're cut off for the applicable period. So none of this is very helpful, except that at the end of subsection 1, they say if it's the one person, your family, you're a one-person family unit, you're cut off, it's for a lifetime. Now, if... No.
In the disability part, there are consequences for conviction, acknowledgments, and judgment.
Could you stand up if you're going to talk to me?
Section 14 of the Disability Act there, subsection 1 states quite clearly. Disability the disability regulations right here. Paragraph 14, subsection 1.
In the regs? In the regs?
In the Act, section 14 of the Act.
This is part of the manual.
But if you go to your act at subsection 5, where subsection 1 sends you, it says if the minister has made a declaration under that subsection, which is the subsection 1, the family unit is not eligible for income assistance for the applicable period. Not eligible for income assistance, I mean, that means you're not getting any more as of the next... The calendar month that starts after the first month after your conviction.